Amen. Today is Pentecost Sunday. The church was born today out of a time that 120 people came together to worship God and to pray. And lo and behold, those 120 people, the Bible says, they were in one mind and one accord. They were human, and they were still in one mind and one accord. Isn't that amazing that God spoke and God showed up? And it's when they came together. I think it's important sometimes that we, especially during COVID, matter of fact, it was 1 year ago today that we began services back, last year on Pentecost Sunday. But during those 10 weeks that we were out, it's easy to kind of slack off and say, well, I can watch on Facebook Live and I can be a part on YouTube on Monday and not be a part. But there's something about coming together with God's people, even us imperfect ones, coming together and just sharing and praying together and worshiping God together. God receives glory out of that, and he honors that, and there's power that comes out of unity. And so thank you for realizing that. Today is Pentecost Sunday, and we thank God for all that he's done, the price that was paid, but all that he's doing. He's not yet finished with the church. The Bible calls the church his bride, and he loves his bride, and he's here for his bride. And so this church, even this individual church, was established by the hand and miracle of God. Back in 1989, God established this property, gave this over 8 acres of property to the church, to the Christian Real Church in Brunswick, used Pastor Ligon to establish this church along with the elders. Pastor Don and Miss Ann pastored here for the first 12 years of its existence. And so what you see today and what is here today glorifies God and was born out of a miracle of people coming together in an attitude and heart of unity. This is just a small example of what God can do. And so as we come together on Sundays to worship God, I believe it's important. It's important to our spiritual lives. But God does a powerful thing together. No, there's nothing wrong with Facebook Live when you have to have it, and YouTube, and those that are even watching us that are maybe out of state, out of country. We have friends up in Lawrenceville, Georgia. Say hello to them that are diligently watching, and part of our church family that can't be here, can't make that drive every Sunday morning to be here. And so it's an important tool that we can use to reach out to those that maybe are sick today. Those are at St. Mark's Tower that faithfully watch every single Sunday, part of our church family. There's an important tool that God uses out of this. But when we can come together, and it takes a sacrifice. If you've ever had a fight with your spouse, it's going to happen on Sunday morning. Now, Chris and I haven't fought this morning, so don't think that we came laughing and cheering and having a good time. But if there's ever anything to go wrong, a flat tire, low tank of gas, you didn't have any cereal in the cereal, something is going to happen to deter you from being here on Sunday morning. But I'm going to talk about that for a little bit, that we need to press in, and everything that God rewards us with always follows some sacrifice somewhere. And so we see that as these people came together in one mind and one accord, God rewarded their act of unity. That's not what I want to talk about today, but it goes right along with what I believe that God wants to speak to us today. I'm going to start a new sermon today called Get Ready for More. Does anybody need more? More power? More anointing? More healing? More peace? Ephesians 3:20 says this, now to him, speaking of God, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. I don't know about you, but that's pretty big, because I can think big. I can ask big. But it says, he who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. That's awesome, isn't it? Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. And I thank you that today, through your word, that you encourage our hearts today, draw us closer to you. Give us insight, Lord, into how big you are and how awesome you are as we pray for more today and we get ready for more of you. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. In yesterday's paper, if you get the daily paper and I get it on my iPad, there's a headline that read this, with hurricane season around the corner, are you ready? Question mark. And when I thought about that, I'm thinking, okay, we need to think hurricane season's here, and they're kind of give us a forecast of some exciting hurricanes to come, and Weather Channel is getting their ratings and all of that. But as I thought about that and knew what God had put on my heart to begin today and this Sunday, there's a lot more for us to get ready for than devastation on this earth. Yeah, we need to be aware of hurricanes coming. We need to be wise. We don't need to be playing in the streets 30 seconds before it comes through. We need to be wise and be smart. But there's no fear in the peace that God brings to us, even including in hurricane season. And so I believe that God is calling us to ask him for more, ask for his protection in these things. And as we seek God, it's kind of like what Elder Roth said a while ago, as we seek God first, he brings the blessings and provision to cover us where we're not acting in fear, but we're acting in peace. And so we look at hurricanes in our life many times. We expect devastation, whether it's sickness in the family, whether it's broken relationship, whether it's something that's going on beyond our control. We get worried and so confused and in a tailspin about it that we can actually experience more of God by pressing into God more. And he can bring peace in those situations. It doesn't necessarily change the face of the situation, but it changes our face to the situation. It changes our heart to it. It changes our ability to deal with it and to receive victory in the middle of it. So I pray today that God will prepare us for more of him, more of God. The Bible speaks of a double portion. You say, well, I'm happy with a single portion. God says we can have a double portion. As a matter of fact, it's mentioned six times in the scripture, double portion. Double portion. We just read that he can do exceedingly above all that we can ask or think. And I don't believe that, Roth said something a while ago too, and it kind of ties right in. God doesn't put things in our life or bring blessings in our life to deter us from him. He brings blessings in our life and provision and miracles to put us more in contact and bring us closer to him. And so God will bless us in our ability to trust him even when he does bless us with things beyond what we ask or think, because he is the God that can do that. And double portion is part of that. And I want to talk about Elisha today. Elisha was a servant of God, and he walked with Elijah. And there's this term that I just mentioned, double portion, that Elisha requests from Elijah when Elijah asks Elisha, what can I do for you? And so Elisha asks for a double portion, but I want to get into what happened and what transpired. We know that Elisha received a double portion of all Elijah had done in his life. But what transpired? This story shows us that right before Elijah is to be called to heaven, Elijah didn't die. He was just called to heaven. God sent down a chariot of fire to pick him up and take him to heaven. And so just before that was going to happen, Elijah knew that was going to happen. Elijah mentored and brought along with him Elisha. And Elisha had a heart to learn from Elijah. And so the instructions that was given to Elijah to anoint Elisha, there was their kind of last tour together. Their last tour lasted about 7 years. And so in 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 15 and 16, it says, then the Lord said to him, Elijah, go return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when you arrive, anoint Hazael as king over Syria. Also, you shall anoint anoint Jehu, the son of Nimshi, as king over Israel. And Elisha, the son of Japhat, of Abel, Meholah, you shall anoint as prophet in your place. So Elijah was called by God to anoint Elisha to come up with him and to train him and to mentor him to replace him in his ministry. And so Elijah goes to the field where Elisha is working. Elisha is out working in the field, so Elijah goes to where Elisha is and sees Elisha plowing in the field. And Elijah puts his cloak upon the shoulders of Elisha as symbolizing, this is the anointing that I'm transferring from me to you. And so Elisha receives that anointing in his life. And so they kicked off this last tour together. There's 7 years, and Elisha is learning and he's growing and he's being mentored by this man of God, Elijah. And so as the story progresses, Elijah knew that his ministry was coming to an end, and he was following the instruction of God to anoint Elisha. So they're going from city to city, but in this final tour, the seven-year period, this final stint, they pass through three places. Y'all stay with me, because I believe there's something that could change our lives out of this story. There were three places that Elijah and Elisha visited during this trip. They passed through. And so I want to talk about the details of this trip. 2 Kings 2, verse 9, it says, "And so it was when they had crossed over that Elijah and said to Elisha, 'Ask what I may do for you before I am taken away from you.' And Elisha says to Elijah, 'Please let a double portion of your spirit be upon me.'" That was Elisha's biggest desire. He said, "What can I do for you?" Elisha's response was, "I want twice. I want double the portion." That's really twice of God's blessings was on Elijah. But Elisha's biggest request, what he wanted most, is the desire of his heart, was to have a double portion of what was on Elijah's life. And so these three places that Elijah and Elisha passed through, I believe, are very key to us also receiving a double portion from God. The first one is Gilgal. Gilgal, meaning a place of separation. Gilgal isn't necessarily the easiest place to go visit or to pass through. A place of separation, meaning that place is where God puts his hand on us. God leaves his mark on us. God reveals himself to us. That place of separation that we're to give space between those things in our life that maybe necessarily shouldn't be there, and give place to God in our life. 1 Kings 2:1 says, "It came to pass when the Lord was about to take Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal." We can read more about that in Joshua 5, where the children of Israel crossed over the Jordan River after being in the desert for 40 years. And so they were about to enter into the promised land. Before they were to conquer the promised land, there was a requirement in this day that all males be circumcised. Now, what that symbolizes is that there's a rolling away of the old to make way for the new. And so what wasn't as important during that 40 years of the journey in the desert now becomes important. God has put priority on this requirement that they be circumcised. And so there's something in our life that also has to happen in that state of separation, that place of separation, and that is a rolling back of the old. It's a separating of the old things from those things that God will bring new to our life. And so this was great importance to God. This was a requirement, and it had to be great importance to them as well. It became a requirement. Are there things in your life that maybe you're still holding on to? There's not a separation from things that God has spoken in your life. That's the first place they visited. That's the first place that they passed through, was that place of separation. See, sometimes God speaks to our life and is calling us to bring a separation between those old things, or those things that are pulling at us, or those things that are deterring us from seeing God clearly, and we want to hold on to them. We want to hold on to them anyway. We've got to first come to that place of separation and let those things go. We've got to leave the old where the old is before we can experience the new. And so as the story goes, there were things that they had to let go of. There's a place of separation. In our lives today, it could be a job, it could be a habit, it could be a person, It could be a situation. It could be a possession that could hinder us from seeing God and could separate us from God. Elisha passed through this way, and this had to be passed through before he could receive his heart. His heart's desire was to receive a double portion. Elisha, I believe, was a wealthy landowner. He was plowing in the field. That's when Elijah found Elisha, was plowing in the field. The Bible says that he had 12 pairs of oxen, and that at the time when Elijah came to him and called him and told him to come with him, the Bible says that Elisha burned those 12 pairs of oxen. Now, that's pretty drastic. I'm not saying that God is going to call us to burn our oxen. But what I am saying is there's a place of separation that we need to come to if there's anything in our life. Elisha said, I'm not going to need that anymore. Why didn't he put him in a barn and let his helpers feed him for a little while he was on the seven-year stint and then come back? He burned them so that there was a place of separation that he said, God, I'm not going to need to go back there anymore. I'm going to make this sacrifice to you, God, because I want to bring that place of separation in my life so that everything's going to be new from this forward. It's an attitude of trusting God, not leaving that gate open to go back to, so to speak. And so many times we like to hold on to things because just in case it doesn't work out, I've got something else to go back to. God knows our heart. God knows our intention. He knows that we're not willing to burn that because we might very well be tempted to go back to it. God wants to bless us, but God is not going to put something or allow something to stay in our life that's going to hinder us or to separate us from Him. We can't pray for more of God and hold on to that thing too. There's got to be a place of separation. There's got to be a place of disconnect. And God knows what's required. God knows what it's going to take for us to bring that place of separation. We can't hold on to that. God wants us to be separated from it. The second place that they passed through was Bethel. Bethel, a place of consecration. See, that it was impossible to get to this place of consecration, which is Bethel means house of God, where they hear God. It's impossible to get to that place until we first go through that place of separation. That place of separation brings us out of the noise, if you will, out of the things in life that's so heavy in our ear. It brings us out of that place of separation in order so we can hear God's voice. We can't hear the voice of God if we've got everything else that's clouding in. There's got to be a place of separation so that we can next come into a place of consecration, which is that place called Bethel. 2 Kings 2:2 says, Then Elijah said to Elisha, Stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me on to Bethel. But Elisha said this, As the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you. So they went down to Bethel. Elisha meant he was going to be with Elijah. And they went to this place called Bethel, a place of consecration. It was at Bethel, if you remember, that Jacob had that encounter with God. He had a vision with God. Saw the stairway to heaven where angels were ascending and descending. And God spoke to Jacob. It was a place of consecration. And in that place of consecration in Bethel, there's a place of sacrifice. There's three subcategories of Bethel that I want us to look at. A place of sacrifice in Bethel. Consecration means there's a place of sacrifice. Genesis 35:1 speaks of Jacob. Says, Then Jacob said, God said to Jacob, Arise and go to Bethel and dwell there and make an altar there to God. He was being called to sacrifice his son. He wasn't being required to at the time. He was being required to take his son there to follow through in the action that God's called him to. Sometimes God wants to test us and to see how serious we are to follow through what he's called us to do. And so this is where Jacob was sent by God to go to Bethel, a place of sacrifice. Bethel was also a place of worship. a place where Jacob met God. Hosea 12:4 said, yes, he struggled with the angel and prevailed. He wept and sought favor from God. He found him in Bethel. And God spoke to him there. The place of worship. Bethel is a place that we've already passed through, coming from that place of separation. And we're coming to a place of consecration, where there's sacrifice and where there's worship. See, the sacrifice isn't an animal. It's not oxen. It's not goats. The sacrifice is our own heart. The sacrifice is putting those things aside that we count as important and say, God, you're more priority in my life. A place of worship. And then thirdly, Bethel is a place of commitment. It said that Jacob, in Genesis 28:19, Jacob called the name of that place Bethel. But the name of that city had been Luz previously. Isn't that an interesting name for a city, Luz? Where are you from? Then Jacob made a vow. He made a commitment saying, if God will be with me and keep me in this way that I'm going, and give me bread to eat and clothing to put on so that I come back to my father's house in peace, then the Lord shall be my God, and this stone which I have set as a pillar shall be God's house. And all that you give me, speaking to God, all that you give me, I will surely give a tenth. Jacob was so committed to God. He made this statement to God that, God, I'm so committed to you that everything that you give me, I'm going to give you a tenth back. That's the sacrifice. That's the worship. That's the commitment that Jacob had made to God. Elisha also made that commitment to God. Bethel reminds us of God's blessings follow through after our commitment to God. God's blessings will not stop as we're committed to Him. As we make that commitment to God, God's blessings just pour out upon us in great ways. It's a place of obedience and commitment to God. What are you committed to? What am I committed to? Where does our commitment lie today? Where's our commitment? That's the second most important place that we've got to get to. Well, yeah, I want more of God. I want God to speak to me. I want God to do this. I want God to fulfill this in my life. I want all these things to happen in my life. But what are we committed to? Are we committed to God? Do we know that God will take care of us even if we have to sacrifice some things? See, God never requires us to sacrifice something unless He's got a greater blessing that He's about ready to give us. God doesn't take away things just to watch us stand on a street corner with our thumb out. That's not the God of abundance that we teach and that we know and that we see God doing. That God of abundance is not going to leave you on a street corner. The God of abundance is going to bring you through those times of feeling like you're on the street corner to a place of blessing and being blessed in every way. Consecration. And then the third place that Elijah and Elisha passed through was called Jericho. This is huge. A place of occupation. Place of occupation, that's where we occupy, that's where we live. And it's not necessarily our address as much as our heart for God. What spiritual state do we live in? What spiritual state do we abide in? What is the foundation of our life? Monday morning at 8 o'clock, noon, Tuesday at 3 a.m., Thursday at 10 a.m., during the course of any week at any time, what is truly our foundation? Where do we live? Where do we live? What is our source? When times are tough, what is our source? What do we go to? When times are great, what is our source? Jericho, a place of occupation. This is important. We've got to come through the other places before we get to occupation, but when we get there, when we get to Jericho, where are we going to live? Are we going to stay there or are we going to visit and then leave? 2 Kings 2:4 says, "Then Elijah said to him, 'Elisha, stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me on to Jericho.' But he said, 'Elijah says, as the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you.' So they came to Jericho." Jericho was the first city that the children of Israel captured when they entered the promised land. And it was just so easy. Everything was good. They had little grapes along the way, had people fanning their foot. No, it wasn't easy, was it? As a matter of fact, there was a battle that happened prior to them getting to Jericho. For them to arrive in Jericho was a battle. Okay, now everything's done. There's no more problems. Everything's good. We're in Jericho. It's good. Come on. Let's eat some pork and have a party. They had to battle to stay in Jericho. See, what happens sometimes is it's such a battle to get there, and we barely get there. It's like, oh, God, I'm glad I finally made it. When we get there, then, oh, more problems, more troubles. Yes, for us to get to Jericho is a battle. For us to stay in Jericho is also a battle. But where's our place of occupation? Where's our address? What's our foundation? What is our life built on? What's the foundation that we're standing on? Is it sandy or is it solid? I'll say that Jesus Christ is our solid foundation. Just as the church was established in the book of Acts, so is our relationship with God. When we're found in Him, our relationship with God is established on the rock, on the rock. And so as the children of Israel marched around the city, they marched and they worshiped God, and what? The walls fell down. There's a shout of praise that comes in that battle that will see the victory come. Well, there are walls up. I'm scared. What's on the other side of the wall? So we make excuses of why those walls won't fall down. So then we backtread. Then we go backwards. Before we get to our victory, many times we're leaving because it's too much trouble. It's too much of a battle. It's too much of a fight. We've got there. We've almost made it there. We see God's hand at work, but we leave before we see the victory. We leave before we experience and occupy the promised land that God has sent us to. There will be a battle to get to where God's taking you, and there'll be a battle when you get there. But let me tell you, the reward, the double portion, will not come until we occupy Jericho. Jericho, the place of occupation. It was a battle, but it was a battle won in praise. The thing in your life today, what is hindering many times us from entering into the promised land that God's called us to, and the double portion that I'm talking about today, is because we haven't entered there in a place of praise and a shout to God, and to stay there. Not to be there to visit and to leave. Crystal and I, we've turned into homebodies now that we're a little bit older and don't like to go many places. We love being at home. We love to stay home and be right here. And the children have to pull teeth to get us to North Carolina these days. Has to be a grandchild's birthday party. That'll get us there. I guarantee you, that'll get us there. And so we've got to come to a place to where, you know, we love to visit different places. We love to see different places, but we want to reside right here. And so we've got to have such a passion for God that we see all these things and see, well, that way of life would be a lot easier for me. That way of life, I would be happy. I'd be peaceful. You know what? I deserve that kind of life. I deserve that, not realizing that that's going backward. But it looks nice. But if we come to a place of passion in our life to say, you know what? I'm going to obtain the victory in God. I'm going to make whatever sacrifice I have to make, and I'm going to be there. And come hell or high water, I'm going to stay there. And it's that determination, and it's that spirit of God in you that lives, in that fire and that passion in you that will push you through, that you'll not only experience what you look to experience, but the Bible says that he'll give us abundantly more than we could ask or think. That's the promised land. And so the reward comes when we reside in that place of Jericho. When we reside, we go through the battle, we fight, and we think we've done all we can. The Bible says, when you've done all you can, stand. And it's through that determination to seek God and to press into God that the victory will come into your life. And that double portion that you were just happy with a single portion, God says, no, because of your faithfulness, because of your request to me, I'm going to bless you with a double portion. The occupation of your promised land will require a battle. Acts chapter 17, verse 28 says, for in him we live and move. There's a song that we used to sing, I don't know how many years ago, a whole bunch of years ago. In him we live and move and have our being. In him we live and move and have. He is our life. He's our foundation. I couldn't stand here without the presence of God directing me to say what I'm saying today. It's in him we live. You can't do what God has called you to do without the presence of God living in your life and causing you to do what God's called you to do. The fulfillment of our double portion comes from allowing God to lead us and direct our paths and to follow him. It's following God into that promised land. You're not alone. You're not fighting the battle alone. You may feel like you are sometimes, but God is with you. God is for you. God is giving you the anointing and the presence that you need to fulfill all that he has called you to do. I said last Sunday, and I'll say again today, there is no one that can do what you are called to do. God has something in your life that no one else will do except for you. That's how special you are. And Jesus Christ laid down his life so that each one of us would have life and have it more abundantly, to be where we can fulfill God's call in our life. Not to just survive. We will survive. But that's not, God hasn't called us to be survivors. God has called us to be more than conquerors. And he's given us all the tools that we need to conquer everything that we face in this life. See, the blessing of God is available, but it's not automatic. Salvation, God has given salvation to each one of us as we believe and receive and as we speak the name of Jesus Christ. But the blessings of God, to the fulfillment of God's blessings, will come through a battle in our life. We can't sit at home and think that God's going to bring his blessings into our life. We will be saved. We will go to heaven. But our life here on earth cannot be all that God wants it to be without us facing the battle and doing nothing. God has called us to do something. In case we didn't know, there will be a fight in the flesh to have a godly marriage. Does that make sense? There will be a fight in the flesh to have peace with your neighbor. You know, some of the things that automatically, just take a ride down Frederica Road. And you wait till somebody cuts you off. And you see what choice you make. We were behind somebody yesterday, and a lady was in front of us. And out of that roundabout there in front of the barbecue place on the corner, somebody pulled in front of her, and you thought we were downtown New York City. That horn, bang! She wasn't close to being hit, but that's the first thing that happened. And I'm not saying that Crystal's ever done that before. Of course she has. She said, "That was not me." I'm kidding. She's a great driver. But when that thing comes in our life and we have to make a split-second decision just like that, what is our first go-to? What is our first reaction? That reaction gives us a clue on what we're founded upon. I'm talking to me too. That first reaction, when that button, whatever that button is pushed, what is our first reaction to that thing? Is it, "You cut me off, you were 12 feet in front of me, and I nearly had a wreck, and I'm going to lay on my horn for 30 minutes? Or is it, "Well, God bless you, you needed to get there quicker than I do." Nobody's going to get there too quick. And so it's a fight. It's a fight in the flesh to fulfill what God has called us to do. It's a fight in the flesh to come against that logic in our mind, because how can I give and then God pours back to me? That makes no sense, so I'm not going to do it because it doesn't make sense to me. See, that's a battle that I've got to win in my mind and saying, you know what, it doesn't matter if it makes sense to me or not. I'm going to be obedient to the Word of God. I'm going to battle this flesh and battle this logic in my mind and do what God's called me to do so that I can experience the victory that He's called me to experience, that double portion that God wants me to experience. And so it is. It you better believe it's going to be a fight every single day. And now that fight gets easier because it becomes more of who we are. Then the more we put that in our mind, the more we put that in our spirit, the more we put that in our heart, the more we live, speak, and breathe it, yes, it will. But you know what? There'll be another battle. Get ready. Today's Miss Betty Ann Sink's birthday, and she would have been 90-something today. She'd have been way up there. And I guarantee you, Betty Ann Sink's on the streets of gold and celebrating her birthday today. Better believe it. She's been celebrating her birthday all month, if you know Betty Ann Sink. But she had some battles to face, no matter what age she was at. She's in heaven today. God's blessed her to be there. Along with Pastor Don, they're probably doing a square dance right now in the middle of the street. But there's a battle. There's a fight. There's a battle in the flesh that we've got to come to, that we've got to realize that, you know what, it's not what I think is God's will for my life. It's what I know God's will is for my life because He's given me the Word to do it. And so there's a place of sacrifice. There's a place of battle that we've got to come to and not back up just because we face the battle. I can't do that. No, you can't, but you can with the power of God. With the power of God working in us and through us, you can do all things through Christ who gives you the strength. And so how can we obtain more of God? How can we prepare for more of God? We're going to do things that we wouldn't normally do. We're going to do things that aren't natural for us to do. It's not natural for us to pass through these places in life and make the sacrifices and to lay our wishes aside to do. It's not natural. It's supernatural. It's not normal in man's standpoint, and you're going to have somebody that questions, why are you doing what you're doing? Why can't you go here with me on Sunday? Why can't you do that? Why can't you? It's because there's a priority. There was somebody the other day that, I forget now who it was, that said they were going on a business trip, an important trip, and they said, no, I've got to be home on Saturday because me and my family will not miss church on Sunday. I thought, wow, write their name down. That's big. And so we don't see that as much today. I mean, back when I was a kid, we had church on Sunday morning and Sunday night. We barely got home in time to change clothes and eat before we had to be back at 6 o'clock Sunday night. And then we were at church till 11 o'clock, and I was up in the morning going to school on Monday, which I tried to come up with excuses not to do that, but Mama said, no, you're going to school. I was up late last night, Mama. Yeah, I know you were. Now get in that car. We're going to school. And so there's a battle in our life, is what I'm trying to say. There's a battle in our life that we've got to realize that the battle is worth the blessing that God wants to give in our life. There's a separation It's consecration, occupation. Separate ourselves to God. Do what he's called us to do. Lay aside those things that try to hold us back. Consecrate ourselves. Get in that place where we can hear God. God wants to say something to you. The noise is crowding in. That place of separation prepares us to hear God's voice like it did Jacob. And then as you march forward, as you go forward, God's going to bring you to a place to where there's a battle. He's prepared you for that battle. And when you get there, know that God is with you to march around those walls, see the walls fall, to conquer your promised land, but then also to fight the battle to stay and to reside. Make that your permanent residence. There's no more part-year resident. Make it your permanent resident. Live there. File one state return. You're there 12 months out of the year. And I believe that just as Elisha received double portion, you will receive a double portion. It's nothing for God. I don't want to take from God's bank. God owns it all. God owned those oxen that are now toast. God owns it all. And so God wants to bless us. There's one final word I want to show you in this scripture, and that is the attitude of Elisha. Who did Elisha think he was to ask for a double portion? You say, well, that's mighty arrogant. No, he knew who he was in God. It's that boldness. It's that boldness. See, God calls us to come before the throne, how? Boldly. Not in our strength or our name or this is my social security number, this is who I am. No, God, I come to you boldly. And he says that whatever you ask in his name, believing, you shall receive. And so that double portion that Elisha requested took boldness on Elisha's part because he knew in whom he believed. He didn't mind going through all the sacrifices during that 7-year period because he knew that God was faithful to deliver all that he could ask or think and more in abundance. That's who Elisha was. That's who I believe that God is calling us to today. We're going to have to go through these cities. We're going to have to go through these places and allow God to do that work in us. But we also need to come to God boldly when he says, what can I do for you? He already knows our heart. He knows we love him. He knows that we have set ourselves aside for him. And there's nothing that God will not do for you. That's the double portion that I believe that God wants to pour out to you today. He wants to give you the confidence in him. Because God is trustworthy. He's never failed. And he's never been late. He's got a good track record. And we can trust God to bring those things in our life. Elisha was bold. Elisha took God at his word. Elisha knew that there was more to be accomplished than what he had been through. He knew that the sacrifices he made was all worth receiving what God was doing in his life. What will we ask God for today? What are you asking God for today? Don't give up. Don't give up. I've just given you the keys that we all need to follow to know that God is limitless. What are you asking for, God? Do you want more of God's blessing? Do you want more of God's anointing? Do you want more of God's presence? Do you want more of God's peace? Many of you need God's peace today. Many of you are battling with things from the past, or maybe there's something that you're facing today that you just don't have peace. I don't know how I'm going to make it through this, Mike, because I don't have peace. God is here to give you his peace. With all that God is dealing with all the troubles in this world today, God is not sweating or worried about it. That's a pretty big God, isn't it? And he created the heavens and the earth and everything in the earth. He created it all. And he's still not worried. And that's the God that created you and me. That's the God that spoke life into us. That's the same God that we just read that he said he would do exceedingly abundantly more than we could ask or think. That's the God that I'm talking about. That's the God that we serve. God is limitless. He has twice as much as what you've ever experienced or seen. Elisha had seen a lot of things through Elijah. Elisha had been exposed to a lot of things, and he knew God. But even he knew there was much more to experience than what he'd experienced. There's more to this life than what you've experienced. There's a blessing that God has prepared for you that he's waiting for you to take the action now to receive what he's got for you. He's not going to withhold any good thing from his children. The Bible says he will not withhold any good thing for his children. He wants to give it to you. It's got your name on it. It's ready to be dispersed. It's not in the Amazon warehouse. It is ready to go. And it is for you. It is for you. God paid for your blessing. He prepared your blessing, and he's ready to disperse your blessing. We've got to trust in him like we've never trusted him before. Well, you don't understand. What about the news? What's this one saying? What's that saying? You know what? That's good. Hurricanes are coming too, but praise God, we're serving a great big God. I'm not worried about the hurricane that may or may not come. If it does come, we'll be fine. Amen. Don't worry. Don't worry. Make your request on him. Ask God for big things. Ask God for bigger things than what you think that he can do. Watch him top that. Twice as much strength, twice as much commitment, twice as much effectiveness. That's what I pray for our lives. Each one of us, that we can be twice as effective as we were 12 months ago. 12 months ago when we fired back off on Pentecost Sunday of 2020, here we are a year later. I pray that next year this time we're twice as effective in what we're doing. Why? For the kingdom of God, for the glory of God. And the depth of our souls with God is a lot more important to me than numbers in the chairs. I don't care anything at all about padding chairs. What I do care about is bringing people closer to the kingdom of God. Whatever that looks like and however it can happen, that's what I believe that we need to do. More, twice as much passion for God. What would you do with twice as much passion? Could you stand yourself? Boldness, anointing, determination. If you were twice as determined as you are today, wow, I want to be around when it happens. I'll tell you that. We've got to get ready. Because right before a revival breaks out, there's a lot of trouble usually. Right before victory is a battle. You can't have a victory without a battle. But God is going to show forth himself, and I want us to be right in the middle of it. I want us to be spearheading it and be yelling and hooping and hollering right in the middle of it. Just carrying on like a bunch of wild people. We serve a big God, don't we? We serve a big God. And I'm just thankful for you that you're here, that I believe that your heart is connected with God for us to see something great happen right here in 2021. I don't know what it is or what it's going to look like. I just got a feeling something's about to break loose. And I want us to be a part of it. Are you with me? Let's stand together. Come on, let's go. Amen. Praise God. Let's bow our heads together. Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for your word. God, you're preparing us for more of you. You want to pass out more of yourself, more of your anointing, more of your presence, more of your power. And God, you know what needs are represented here today. You know what needs are represented in this room. There are some that need a healing from you. Some battling cancer today. Some can't get out of their chair because their legs are too messed up. God, there are people that need an extra touch from you today. And God, you're the God that will do it. Some may be listening today that you've drawn away from God. Maybe you've made some mistakes and you don't feel like God loves you. Listen, God loves you. He is for you. God loves you. Maybe you're here today and you need a touch from God today. Maybe you need to rededicate your life to God. There's something that God wants to do. The Bible says that whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Lord, I thank you today. I thank you today that you're working in our lives. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Amen. Mama D.